Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Installment of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. Very, very exciting show tonight. We had some pre-banter before the show started, and it's going to be a lively one, folks. So if you're listening in, please feel free to give us a call. Our show number is 347-237-4616. Or if you're a little too shy to talk to us, that's okay. You can participate via Twitter. Use the hashtag BGNPodcast, and we'll be sure to address your comments and questions on the air. Our show tonight is Nerd Credentials. What constitutes nerdiness? We have guest hosts and our regular BGN crew with us. So our BGN crew is Shaka, Shelley, LaTanya, and our guest co-hosts are Ramon and Raphael. And very excited to have them on. Before we get started with our show and toss it over to our guests, just want to make a couple of announcements. Today is the very last day to enter to win a free T-shirt from antisparkle.com. So check out blackgirlnerds.com, and there is a link to the website, and you can enter to win. So today's the very last day, and winners should be announced by tomorrow. And also, can support our podcast by going to Zazzle.com/blurredgasm. We've got a ton of merchandise on there, and all of the proceeds help to fund these weekly podcasts, and thanks to all who have already purchased products from our store. So we're going to get started. Before we do, I do want to hand the virtual mic over to our co-hosts. I'm going to start with the ladies first, in this order, with Shaka, Shelley, and LaTanya, and then we have our guest hosts, Ramon and Raphael. So please introduce yourselves by telling who you are, your social networks, any projects that you're working on. Fire away.
Okay. Hey, everyone. My name is Shaka. I am a writer, I'm a cosplayer, I'm a contributor to Black Girl Nerds. I've written for sites like TheMarySue.com, ExoJane, NerdCaliber, just a bunch of different nerdy sites. You can find me on Twitter at Princessology and on Facebook at Princess Mentality Cosplay.
Hi, this is Shelley Ellis. I am a author, magazine editor, and a new mom. I have a few books out right now, and you can find out about them on ShelleyEllisBooks.com. I'm riding away, and my birthday's tomorrow, so I'm really excited about that.
Yay, happy birthday!
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
I guess it's my turn. I'm Tanya. I am a vlogger and professional party thrower. I blog over at SprinklesandBooze.com. I'm also a Black Girl Nerds contributor. Right now, I've been working really, really hard at launching party products, a party product line through Sprinkles and Booze with the confetti bar. So there's lots of confetti, custom confetti, things like that that's in the works, and I'm constantly covered in glitter. So there's that.
Oh, wow. Constantly covered in glitter. Okay. The Revolution. And, you know, the virtual microphone is in my hands right now. And in Jamie's hands, it's normally used for good. But in my hands, it becomes a dirty bomb. Today it goes off all over Blog Talk Radio. Ooh, it's going down. Nerd Credentials. I'm excited. Y'all know who I am. You all know where to find me. I'm on Twitter. I'm on the radio in Atlanta. Y'all know about me. I don't even care about that. It's about me. It's about Raphael. It's about these nerd credentials. It's going down, baby. It's going down tonight, baby. I'm excited. I can't hold it in.
You're really excited. Yeah, you're really excited.
I've got to follow that.
I'm dialed in right now, man.
Hi, Eamon. I'm Raphael, the self-proclaimed anti-nerd. You know, I've done a few films here and there, like short films, nothing really big. But I mostly have my own podcast called the Nerdy Notions Podcast, where I rant and rave on nerd things. I've been called the Marc Maron of nerds with my kind of neurotic sense on things. But other than that, you know, I just write and stuff like that. I'm just a really passionate nerd wanting to push nerdom to another level.
Good stuff. All right, guys. So we're going to get started because this is going to be a good one, and I got a lot of questions. So I did want to start with Raphael. Raphael wrote this great piece, a manifesto, if you will, on his site about anti-nerd. And I wanted to start by asking you with this compelling piece that you actually – wrote for your site, but I took an excerpt from it because I couldn't get all of there on there. But I published an excerpt from it on Black Girl Nerds, and it's called The Six Anti-Nerd Commandments. You guys can check that out. But I wanted you to explain to our listeners what is the Anti-Nerd Commandments and what inspired you to write this article.
Well, what inspired it really was just I felt that nerd culture has gotten to a point now in the 21st century where our beef is no longer wanting to be respected and wanting to be accepted. We've gotten to a point where we are accepted, and we've become almost pop culture itself. So if we won the war, in a sense, to fight for our respective place, now it's Reconstruction era, and it's time to fix what's internally wrong with nerd culture. So a lot of the commandments are basically are just about what needs to change for nerd culture to continue, like, one of the commandments were we were all nerds anyway, and in our own unique way, we all have been in some way. to me, what nerd means is passion and having an intelligence for a certain topic. And when I look at a channel like ESPN, people would say sports, that's not a nerd thing, but if you look at what the guys speak about on that channel, it cannot be any more nerdy. The idea, there's a statistic for LeBron James in fourth quarters in two-minute situations with two defenders on him, how many, what's the percent of him making that shot? That's nerd numbers right there. One of the other commandments was it doesn't belong to you, and nothing is sacred. It's more of, in a culture where people like to use the term, oh, that raped my childhood. Nothing rapes your childhood. The new Star Wars prequels didn't rape your childhood. You still have those original Star Wars trilogy, and it's an amazing trilogy. You don't have to acknowledge things you don't like. Like, I don't acknowledge the Grant Morrison run on Batman recently, but that doesn't change Batman. So many creators are going to touch these characters. They're 70 years old. There's been so many different versions of them. You got to, at some point, accept that things are going to change. But also with that was to, another command was critique with love and not hate. Now, I take a lot of hate for being anti-Walking Dead. I know. Listeners are like, how dare you? But I don't hate Walking Dead. You know, I just want Walking Dead to be a better show. I just wish they would do certain things.
I
respect
that. I could totally respect that.
Yeah. And
I love
Walking
Dead, but I understand what you're saying. I'm sorry,
even
go ahead.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I take that heat on now because everyone's like, how can you not like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I'm like,
I think that show is awful.
I don't like it either. Yeah, I don't like it.
And we're going
to
get to that.
I got Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Bulwark Empire, where I've got really good shows. I shouldn't have to settle for anything less than a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely, that's one of the commandments also. We don't have to settle anymore. And to give an example of that would be people accepting that Wonder Woman's going to make a cameo possibly in the Batman versus Superman movie, with their idea being, well, we're going to get Justice League. That doesn't matter. A character of that importance to not just comics, but to women, society in general, she should not have to be stuck into a cameo role in a movie with two big boys. She deserves her own time in the spotlight. And the idea of settling is
what
possible.
Right. I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just saying, they don't know how to handle Wonder Woman. They really don't.
Yeah, and you know, the sad part is, like, I'm looking at DC now going forward with a show about the character Our Man, but you can't do anything with Wonder Woman? That's ridiculous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another one of the more radical commandments was, and I took a lot of heat for this one also, unless it's a key to a character's origin, it's okay to change his race. And I took more of the Michael B. Jordan, Johnny Storm example of that, where I thought changing his race actually improves on a character that was traditionally one-dimensional, that didn't really have a characteristic other than he's a jerk. And never once did his Caucasian white skin ever play a real role in his character. Where Black Panther, he's from Africa, it does play a big role for him. So that you can't change. But with a character where his race isn't as important, it's okay to change and experiment. Because like with all comic books, there are different interpretations. There's always going to be. You lose nothing by at least trying out a new interpretation. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other commandments is we need to respect our nerdy women. That was something I'm really, really passionate about. I grew up in a house full of women. So naturally, like, when it comes to nerd culture, I see how female characters are treated by the likes of Todd McFarlane and Mark Millar, as they're just used as centerpieces to make male, you know, characters angry. You know, or when I look at cosplay and how, like, guys just creep on cosplayers and don't allow them to, you know, don't allow them to respectfully wear their costumes and just go, look, she's got, like, boobs and stuff. It's like, they're women. They have that. Maybe you didn't go to school to learn that, but they have that. They're human beings, you know, first things first. And then the final one was just something that was more personal, was blurreds were here to stay and be proud to be one. I remember as a kid, in a culture that was most white, being a blurred from Brooklyn was really hard for me. And had I known back then to be proud to be a blurred, I probably wouldn't have had the kind of hatred I had for nerddom almost, where the very thing I love kind of turned on me when I realized there wasn't enough people that represented me in nerd culture. So the nerd commandments to me were just addressing the 21st century problems of what needs to change. And it's not to say a nerd culture in its very core is evil. It's just, it's a different realm now, and it's a different, we have different problems. And we need to address them if we're going to be the mainstay and invite new nerds in.
Awesome. Wow. Good stuff. I want to ask Raphael and Ramon this question and then toss it to the ladies on this. We also have Tara that is on the line with us. Tara, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Tara's a co-host with BGN, BGN contributor as well. I want to start and ask, what are the specific qualifiers of nerdiness, or should there be?
Okay. I want to take this right off the bat here, and I want to say, yeah, there should be. And, you know, there should be. And I'm just going to be real, right? This is my problem with a lot of people in the whole nerdiness, right? I don't like it. I resent it because, just like everyone else, right, when you were in high school, if you didn't have the money to wear Tommy Hilfiger and Gervais jeans and all that, you could not be one of the Richies. You couldn't fake your way into being a Richie, right? You couldn't fake it, right? You couldn't fake your way into being a jock. If you didn't have any athletic ability, couldn't fake your way into it. You either played on the team or you didn't. And I think that there's so many, you know, themes like that, right, that when you have nerddom, right, that people were so in the closet or they didn't do it at all. And then now all of a sudden what Raphael is saying, the 21st century, right, oh, we've made it. Oh, we can be out and proud now. Oh, I can wave my flag and I can wave my colors and everybody comes out of the closet, right? But at the same time, they didn't put no work in. They hid it. And so I don't have time for you. You are a poser. You listen, I was out and proud in the 90s, okay? When everybody was thugging, I was walking around looking like Kurt Cobain, man. Like,
and I was listening to him.
And I was like, I'm just saying that it's like you can't put in hours all of a sudden in your late 20s and early 30s. You can't go on Netflix, right, and crunch in a whole season of My Little Pony. Okay, and now all of a sudden I'm a nerd because I watched the whole season. And oh, what would Jean-Luc Picard do? Oh my God, I watched The Next Generation now. I watched it at 31 years old. So now I'm a nerd now. Like, listen, chill out. You have to put in time with it, just like anything else, man. Just like anything else. And I think that it's offensive to people that have truthfully obsessed over this. Who on this panel, right, quick question, who on this panel had ran home at various times to watch these shows, any one of these shows, right, on a consistent basis when it was jumping off, right? Going to your friends, like, did you see what happened today? And you obsessed over it for years. You, my friend, are a nerd. That's nerdiness, okay? You doing it at 31 years old in the comfort of your home, and reading Neil Gaiman graphic novel all at once. Oh, congratulations. You get a cookie, but you're not a nerd. Beat it. Over.
So just piggyback on that one thing, I think I agree with him on this one. I like to equate it to, it's someone who dips their foot in the pool and thinks they're all wet. You're not all wet. You just dip your foot in. You know?
I love the metaphors that are coming up.
See, my only problem with that mindset, because I completely understand it, like growing up, like I was the only girl in my class who was in the Dragon Ball Z, and ironically, I was also the only girl in my class who nobody wanted to date and nobody was interested in, and they would talk about stuff like Dragon Ball Z and Power Rangers and stuff with me, but they were not interested in being my boyfriend. And I was always the outcast for it, and, you know, that was my cross to bear. Like, back in, like, 99, 2000, that was being a nerd. Being a nerd wasn't, like, you know, deciding you were going to play Pokemon, you know, 15 years later and being like, oh, yeah, 100, original 150, like, I'm such a nerd, like, whatever. Like, I understand, like, the anger part of it, but what I don't like about that is that men a lot of the time use that as an excuse to discount females. They're like, oh, well, you're... You know, you couldn't possibly have been a nerd back when it was a struggle, you know? Like, you just want to be a nerd now because, you know, it's sexy for girls to say they like comic books. And so that they use that a lot to try to discount women and tell them that they can't be a part of it. And it's like, who are you to even freaking come for me? Like, you don't want to know my credentials, sweetie. I've been here a lot longer than you have.
You don't know my struggle.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, they want to try to be like, oh, well, you can't be a part of this. There's no way you were, you know, like, I used to run an anime club. I started and ran an anime club in high school, the first one my high school ever had. And then I went into college and became secretary of my college anime club. And I would have people on a regular basis tell me that I only was, you know, into anime for guys or whatever. Because, you know, anime nerds, they're so attractive. And that I couldn't have possibly have been into anime, like, before, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you know, to this day, it's ridiculous. I have a job in anime, and I still have to, like, prove myself on a daily basis. And so that's why I don't like the credentials thing, because it's people just use it as an excuse to be sexist.
Agreed. So I agree with that, actually.
I have a love-hate thing with credentials, and I caught a lot of flack on the blog post that I wrote about the credentials thing. And my love for having credentials, it actually goes back to kind of what everyone has touched on. You don't know the struggle or the time or the whatever that was put into, you know, me building up my nerddom or whatever it may be. I used to get in fights with my grandma to watch Sailor Moon after I got home from school because she wanted to watch her soap operas. But Sailor Moon came first to me. I didn't care about your soap operas. Or just like, it was just that I used to sit in class in English and talk about Dragon Ball Z, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But again, none of the nerds are really that attractive, but you can't go have a conversation about it with someone else without them just being like, pshaw, whatever. So the reason why it is annoying is just like that, the sexism that goes along into it. What bothers me about it now was, again, already touched on, for females in particular, it's cute and sexy to be a nerd now. And I can remember very well when the females would point and laugh and giggle and snicker and this and that about being a nerd for me. And now when they try and do it, it's like, wait, hold on. I remember when you used to laugh at me or you used to make fun at me or you used to talk behind my back about me about it. So here, let me get this sheet and ask you questions, or let me just pull something out of my butt and ask you questions. And if you can't answer me, then I'm going to call you on it because I don't think it's not fair. I couldn't be a cheerleader because I didn't cheer. No one wanted to be a band geek. I didn't see anybody going around everyone like, yeah, boy, I play tuba. That's so cool. Like, no, that wasn't cool. You, like, there's nothing alluring about that or to brag about that unless you were a band geek and you could be like, oh, I can read music and I can march drill. So,
or remember,
that's
like,
why
back when, I'm sorry, remember back when Pokemon first became a thing and the church totally, like, riled against it because they thought they were all demons. And so, like, you had to sneak to watch Pokemon. Like, that was being a nerd. Like, back before, it, you know, everybody was like, oh, I'm playing Pokemon because it's, like, the game of the week. I was like, try, like, watching Pokemon at 2 in the morning because, like, your church-going mother was like, it's demonic. You're not allowed to watch Pokemon. But now Pokemon is a thing.
I've never heard this in my life. When did this happen?
Have you not? Oh, my God.
This was back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when Pokemon first exploded on the scene, a lot of the churches turned against it because, you know, Pokemon is short for pocket monsters, and they thought that the kids were being possessed by pocket monsters by playing Pokemon. And so they were like, Pokemon is the devil. And, like, my church totally bought into it. I got in a huge fight with my parents over Pokemon. I had to hide all of my fan fiction, all of my fan art. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or just, like, when Pokemon was causing seizures, and
yeah,
a lot of parents were like, no, you don't need to be playing Pokemon because it causes seizures, and you would, like, go sneak off somewhere just so you could get your, like, I need to catch this thing because screw this seizure. If the seizure will happen if necessary, but I need to catch all 150. Screw you.
Or when they banned, like, Pokemon cards at school and you weren't allowed to have them at school because they were distracting kids, so you had to, like, slide the, you know, the little plastic
it was a drug
card
deal.
Detectors into your, yeah. It was basically a drug deal, like, in 7th grade science class. You're, like, sneaking it in your, like, science books and stuff. It was great.
Oh, wow.
I think my view personally on their credentials, like, I do believe they exist within our own community, but I believe now that nerddom has become a very popular thing, I think nerddom has now taken the way of religion almost, where we were there from the beginning when the prophets first spoke. So therefore, we have a job to preach the good news of what nerddom is. And if I see someone going back to the pool analogy with just their feet wet, I'm going to say, listen, why don't you jump into the pool? I'm now going to try to tell them, listen, like, if someone saw the Batman movies, oh, you like Dark Knight? Well, it was inspired by these comics. Why don't you read it? So I think the job of nerds has now changed where we cannot be the educators to these new people coming in. And I don't think it's a bad thing to come in. I do agree with the whole, like, you should have put in work at a certain point to really call yourself a nerd. Like, that does exist to me a little bit. But to me, it's a personal qualifier I have, not something I think all nerds should embrace. To me, my personal qualifier for nerd is, were you passionate enough to learn everything about it? And if you have the interest, I get to give it a nerd curious. If you're at least nerd curious, then I'll take it to the other side with me. I'll show you this whole magical kingdom. But now nerds now have to be educators now. You know, that's the way I see it.
Jamie, can I say something real quick to that point? Curious. I'm gonna say this. Let me say this real quick, right? Back in the day, we did not have social media when I was growing up, right? I was growing up in the 80s, right? I was a little kid in the 80s, so it was like it was so hard to find a kid that would like you, right? Now, because of the internet, everyone can find everyone very easily. You can join chat groups, you can do this and that, the other, right? So it's real easy. So you can be curious very quickly and think that because someone has told you a few things, you got some stuff, that now you're a nerd. No, you're still nerd curious. And that was my only point. I don't want to, purposely try to get someone riled up here, but I kind of do. But at the same time, the point is that don't be nerd curious, right? And we know that you're nerd curious. There are tons of people on Twitter right now that are really just nerd curious, but they're passing themselves off like that they're a nerd and that they're an expert and that they have a voice. And it's like, listen, honey boo boo, please have a seat. Have a seat and let the real people, because I'm going to tell you like this. You all know that once you have a conversation and you're talking about mainstream stuff, that's cool, right? It's cool to talk about Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, right? It's cool to talk about Iron Man, Thor, all that, right? Talk to me about Love and Rockets. Right? Have a conversation with me about Love and Rockets. Have a conversation with me about Ghost World. If you read Ghost World, then you know what? I'm going to instantly say, oh, well, kudos to you. Come in here with the elitist, because I am an elitist, and I am an elitist. I don't have time.
But where do you think the line is drawn between elitism and being a gatekeeper? I mean, didn't all of us start as nerd curious at one point? You know, none of us were born into this. You know,
what?
Like knowing everything. We all have to start.
Exactly. I've been on both sides. I've seen people who I know aren't nerds who claim to be, but I've also been the person who's the nerd who's like, I don't care about Pokemon. I don't do cosplay.
Right.
And they're like,
right.
How are you a nerd?
Right.
And I'm like,
right.
To me, there's like different subsets within nerddoms, and we try to like pick at each other, and I'm like, I'm a nerd because at lunchtime in high school, I would listen to the guys like reenact Monty Python skits. I'm a nerd because I thought reading the encyclopedia was fun. I'm like, but for some people, they're like, well, that doesn't really qualify you as a nerd. And to me, that actually is part of nerd culture too. I don't know why we're so fanatical about things that they were like, well, if you don't like this, then you obviously don't understand this. If you don't like Doctor Who, it's not because Doctor Who isn't great. It's just you don't understand the subtlety of Doctor Who. And
right.
So I'm like, so to me, it's like we do this to each other.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I get the point of like why we need to, as adult nerds, we need to be a little less exclusionary than maybe when we were younger.
Exactly. We're not
in
the schoolyard anymore.
Yeah, can I jump in really quick? So
sure,
I did want to ask the question, what makes someone a nerd? But, Shelley, I'm really glad you articulated that, because you and I are sort of on the same nerd plane. I wasn't – I mean, I'm not an anime nerd. I didn't watch those kind of shows growing up. But I was the introvert, I was socially awkward, and I wanted to address, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, on Twitter, Nyasha Jr. She said that I meant the BGM podcast in particular tonight because I don't know anything about comics, cosplay, Walking Dead, Doctor Who, etc. So she felt like she wasn't nerdy enough to understand this podcast tonight. Those things don't make you a nerd. In my definition... They don't. And I wrote a piece, What Makes Someone a Nerd. And for me, in my opinion, I think someone who lacks conformity, they're not built for it, someone who disobeys the status quo, so to speak, they don't follow trends and what's cool and hip, someone who's just comfortable in their own skin. And even if that is strange or odd to others, they're okay with their own sense of self-identity. So that to me is what makes someone a nerd. And I don't think you have to have those certain hobbies or interests in order to be a part of nerd culture. It's encompassing of so many things.
Growing up, were you finished? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Growing up, I didn't like Doctor Who, and I still don't. I get the concept. I think it's enjoyable for some people, but it's just not my cup of tea, if we're going British, you know, preferences. But to me, I think what happens with nerd fanaticism is that it breeds, like, to me, when it comes down to, like, females getting geek shamed, that's nerd terrorism. That's fanaticism speaking. You know what I mean? That's something that we need to get rid of in our culture. Because if the idea of our culture was built on, this is a place where anyone can be wherever they want to be and are open to be those people. And right. That's why I took a stance of, if there are people who don't know, we can help educate. You don't have to like comics to be a nerd. To me, the qualifier for nerd is if you're passionate about a certain topic and you have gone to the extra lengths to learn about it. There are people who are cosplay nerds to me, are some of the most interesting nerds because they can teach me things about costume design and printer that I can never understand. I'm not a cosplayer, you know what I mean? But those cosplay nerds to me are some of the most amazing people. And I think it really comes down to what
we know.
It goes back to the commandments, though, right? And it's the thing that gets me is like when everyone's like, okay, well, you have to start, and you're curious at it. I get that. Like, let's not go through a Rosen bridge on this, right? We're not going to go straight through a wormhole and start here and then end up over there. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this, right? He says that in the commandments, and I applauded him, they were brilliant, right? There are so many paths to nerddom, right? Anyone here that follows any religion, my religion happens to be Christianity, right? In the Christian Bible, it clearly says all roads lead to me, right? So if you have any positive religion experience, right, it still goes back to the one true God. That's what it says, right? So if you're a Buddhist, if you're in Islam, if you're in Judaism, all roads lead to him. So if guess what, people, if you are really dead set into astronomy, you're into chemistry, yes, and you obsess over it and you can talk about it day in and day out over and over, you're a nerd. It's not about, if you can do that about sports, you're a nerd. If you can do that about herbology and you're a nerd. It's not, we get so dead set on adding comic books and, you know, that's just like a very small fraction of what it is to be a nerd. It really is. And I think that some of the social cues that we miss out on, like Jamie, you just said it, you know, like, you know, rebellious and going against the grain. All the mainstream people are trying to fit in somewhere else.
Right.
Nerds are not. They're not.
Exactly.
They're like, I'm not going to conform.
Right.
Yeah.
Mama, I'm not fitting in there. It's not happening. You know,
so if we're comparing nerds to Christianity, then I would say Whovians, you have your different sects. Whovians, Trekkers, me and you, Raymond, we just found out that we're Deep Space Nine fans, so we're Niners, you know. Those are like saying Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, Baptists. They're different sects of the same religion. I'm right there with you, definitely.
Yeah.
See? This is why we have romance, people.
Diverse.
This is why.
I mean, nerd is kind of like an elusive term now. It transposes to so many different things, so you can't put it in a tiny box and put a label on it and say, okay, that's what constitutes being a nerd. So I'm just glad that those points have been brought up. I want to ask this question because we've got Shock on the podcast. Are all cosplayers necessarily nerds?
No. I'm not Shock. I'm sorry, but no.
This is a real sore subject in the cosplay community. There are definitely people who do costume design, and you know they'll sew or whatever, and they're not necessarily a nerd. They're just there for the fabrication and you know the production and the making props and the sewing and stuff like that. I feel like for a person who is not a cosplayer, someone who is just going to a con, hanging out, to go up to a cosplayer, try to quiz them about, you know, the character or the story arc or the series or the movie or whatever, you know, from the costume they're wearing, and then decide that they're not passing their test, so they must be faking it and they must just be wearing the costume to get attention or whatever, is that's complete bullshit to me. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, you have no idea how much time goes into making a costume. Everything from the research to the fabric shopping to the wigs to making the props, the painting, the sanding, the sculpting, all of that. I would not go through that for a character that I did not like, or for a show I did not like, or a movie or whatever I didn't care for. It's not worth it to me. Like, going, like, spending all that time putting together a costume just to walk around and have people tell me I'm pretty. I mean, I can walk down the street and have people tell me I'm pretty. Let's be real. I don't have to spend all that money and all that time doing it at a con. You know, and so for people to be like, oh, well, you know, they're just cosplay girls who go to cons to get attention. Sure, there are girls who will go and they'll buy, like, a store-bought costume from, like, Halloween Express or whatever, put on their little Supergirl costume and walk around. And you know what? That's fine, because they want to be a part of it. They just want to go and they want to be a part of it. Maybe they like Supergirl. You don't know because she's blonde and she's tall and she's pretty that she automatically came like Supergirl and she's just there to get attention. You know, it just goes back to the whole, you know, nerds were bullied growing up, and so we feel like we have to protect this from, you know, the popular kids who are growing up and they're trying to take this from us too. You know, it's really ridiculous, especially with cosplay, because it's such a physical manifestation of your love for a character, and so much goes into that. So when people try to take it from us, I get really, really pissed.
Tara, what's your feedback on that? Because you answered no.
The reason why I said no is because I do know of some girls who have gone to anime conventions dressed up as characters, and they're like, oh, I just go to go. And I'm like, you kind of suck. I mean, I can't say anything against it because I haven't cosplayed yet, but I have four in the works right now. I'm not as, well, first of all, I can't sew to save my sorry little life because I'm artistically challenged in the first place, but I have mine out and custom made to fit me and to tailor to me personally. And, like, for some of the characters that I have lined up, like, one of which I feel like a personal connection to, as silly as that may sound, but her as a character and what she looks like and how she portrays herself, like, when I go to cosplay as her, I feel like I'm embodying her. It goes back to what Shaka said. The amount of time and stress and energy and heartache and blood, sweat, tears, so on and so forth, that goes into actually cosplaying. Because it's funny because on Halloween in the anime club that I'm in, somebody asked, like, when people dress up in costumes for Halloween, does that count as cosplaying or not? And it was a real sensitive subject for some people because they were like, eh. Most of the time when people cosplay, they're trying to embody that person. Am I right, Shaka?
Yes. You're trying to embody, you're trying to show your love.
So for those who just go out and do it, I can't knock you for it. I mean, I like getting dressed up as much as the next person. But on the same note, I feel like cosplayers take it to a deeper level than just, I'm going to get dressed up and throw this on. It's, I want to somewhat, somehow, some way be that person. I want when people to see me to be like, oh, you know what? I see it. I dig it. You went that extra mile. Some people say that I went too far with my own personal anime geekdom because I have two tattoos from Bleach. I want a Sailor Moon chest piece. Like, mine goes to a different respect. I may not cosplay as much, but I tattoo anime on my body, so for me it lasts forever.
That's going to be so awesome. I can't wait to do that tattoo.
Yeah, I've got a Sailor Moon tattoo on my rib cage, and it's amazing. I love Sailor Moon so much.
We have a question on Twitter. Just want to address that really quick. Watercoolercombo.com asks, are there different rules for being a blurred than there are for being a nerd? I want Raphael to answer that since you kind of bring that up in your commandments.
Well, in the commandment I wrote, the sixth one, about blurs are here to stay and be proud to be, I wrote that section specifically for blurred. About, because it's harder for us to embrace it. So for us, we naturally, you know how society has viewed, you know, intelligent minorities, because let's be real, they're still shocked by it. You know, when they see a guy, Donald Glover, they're still very shocked that guy, Donald Glover, exists, you know? So when it comes down to that, I even wrote a section for non-nerds of color going, keep reading this because you can help also. We need to at some point, A, embrace that we are nerds also. We are just as nerdy as everyone else is. So I think we need to take more of a prideful stance of it. Hold your head up high when you go to these Comic-Cons, because they're not any better than you are. they came from the same place. They were obsessed by something, and you're obsessed by the same exact thing, or maybe something else. We were all nerds. When it comes to blurbs, I feel like what I'm afraid of with blurbs is that we'll become what nerdom used to be, where it's a pissing contest. Where we're like, well, I'm more of a blurb than you are, because you weren't doing this back then. I think because we're such a young culture still, I would say, like, I found blurbdom, it might have existed a lot longer than that, but I personally found maybe 2 years ago, blurbdom. So I'm still, like, I would still say I'm kind of a sophomore, junior in blurbdom. So I really can't say there are rules to blurbdom, but I do think there is an inner self-deprecation when you're a blurb. Because it's hard for you to embrace it, because the culture around it's hard to, you know, embrace. Like, I was a nerd in Bushwick Projects, Brooklyn, and that wasn't easy. When everyone else was talking Jay-Z album, I was going to be Superman comic.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't wearing academics. I was wearing a new Marvel t-shirt that came out, you know, so it was a little bit harder. So I think when it comes to blurbs, my only rule, if there is one, is embrace what you are, love what you are. Because nothing like pulling this answer, but like, my brother is half Puerto Rican, half black. And he asked me the other day, why aren't there more characters that look like us on screen when it comes to superheroes? And I told him, you like comics, right? Someday maybe you can make those characters. And never let anyone tell you you're not nerd enough. And he's going to end up being a better nerd than I've ever been, because he learned early at 9 that being a blurred is okay. So if you're a blurred out there hiding, you're hiding in plain sight, let people know you're a blurred, because they can't take that from you. It's all about love. And if you love your blurred, don't hide it. That's my one word.
Aww. Yeah. There's so much solidarity in the blurred community. I really love it. It's just a really supportive, loyal community. So you're right.
You know why, Jamie? It's everything. Like, it's funny, and I don't want to take it to race, but you have to, because it's blurred. It's black nerd, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It's like the formation of the black church. Oh, you don't want us to worship Jesus in your church, so we have to create our own church because you gave us this religion, but you don't want to sit next to you. So it's the same thing. Shaka, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to impede on anything that happened that might be personal, but did somebody say something to you at Dragon Con this year concerning something?
Yeah.
Tell everybody what happened.
When I was talking to Jay. Basically, I was walking around. I was in my Red Sonja costume that I spent, y'all, so much time on, because I hand weaved together all of my scale mail for my bra and my bottoms, and my boyfriend and I worked really hard. He sketched out my pauldrons, and then I casted them in craft foam and warbler, and we like heat molded them around my shoulders. Like, it was a really intense costume. The morning I got there, I opened my suitcase, and like, TSA had just completely wrecked it, and I spent all morning on my bed, like, crying and fixing it. I finally get down to the con, I do a photo shoot, I'm walking around. I decided I was going to go buy the giant DC suit that the superhero costume forum puts on, and I was just going to go see some friends. I didn't have a DC costume, obviously, but I just wanted to go see some friends. And so we're walking through the hallway, and some guy comes up to me and my boyfriend walking around, my boyfriend is white. So this guy comes to me, and he goes, oh, wow, I'm not usually attracted to black women or whatever, but you know, you did a really good job, and walks off. And I just stood there for a second. And I looked at my boyfriend, and I was like, did he just say that? And this woman behind me goes, yeah, he did. And he's lucky he didn't say it to me. I would have been in jail. Like, that's so messed up. That is so messed up. And I was just like, I was almost shocked into silence for once. Like, I always have something to say about everything. But I was just like, I cannot believe someone came to my face and told me that they weren't attracted to black women, but they were attracted to me. Like, what's that supposed to make me even feel like? Like, am I supposed to feel special? Because you're usually a freaking racist, but now, like, I'm just fixing that for you. So my boyfriend goes back, like, drags this guy back, like, chews him out, makes him apologize to me. I chew him out, and I'm just, like, livid for the rest of the day. And I went to the shoot to find Jay, and we were just super pissed about it. You know, like, it's... Yeah. You know, we were talking about how you don't want to bring it back to race, but you always have to, because, like, if you don't bring us not bringing it back to race means nothing when they're always going to take it to race with us first. They always see our race first, and we need to be, you know, we need to understand that.
That's the point of the whole blur. It's like we were ostracized by, like, I'm dead serious, like, you know,
white nerds can be some. If anyone knows out there, right? If you're the odd person out, Ralph, you even wrote it in your piece going into one of the most famous comic book shops in all of New York City. You know,
yeah,
so
I'll,
like,
I'll say a little bit. I went to Forbidden Planet. Since I was in high school and watched Nerding, I was like around 2003, 2004, and I went in there for the first time, and it was mostly white people in there. And I went in there because, to be honest, growing up in Bushwick, there weren't a lot of comic book stores. All I had was that grocery store on the corner that had like 2-month-old Superman comics or 2-month-old X-Men comics, you know. So I saw my first comic book store in Union Square, Forbidden Planet. I went, and when I went in there, I was enjoying my time, but then I realized everyone's looking at me because I'm not the normal person that walks in there. And I felt that pressure. It was like, wow. And I didn't let it bother me that day, but I ended up talking to friends after that, like friends of mine I was going to school with who were also nerds. And I'm like, you have a good Forbidden Planet? And they're like, yeah, it's weird because we seemingly don't belong there. And the thing is, I know the guy who owns it through other friends, and he has strived really hard to make that a place that accepts everybody. But some customers are so in tune to what nerddom used to be, it's hard for them to accept nerds that are darker than khaki. They just don't understand that that happened at some point. So I definitely understand what Ray is talking about. It comes back down to race sometimes. And as much as we want to believe that we've progressed to a certain point, we haven't. And we're still dealing with these issues in smaller pockets of America, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they always see our race first, and, you know, us trying to pretend like it's not really a factor or trying to pretend like, you know, it's not. They always see our race first. You're always going to be a black nerd to them first, so we might as well unite. That's how they see us. And I wrote an article recently about just wanting better representation just in comics and video games and stuff, and I got so much negative reaction from the majority where it was coming from was white male nerds who were just like, well, why don't you just write your own comics? Why are you coming in here and wanting to, like, change up my continuity and what's canon for my characters? You know, y'all need to just go make your own. And it's like, you know what, yeah, we're perfectly capable of making our own. I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but black people are fully capable of writing comics and drawing comics. That's not what this is about. This is about the fact that we need to have
able to
turn on the TV and see a black superhero on the Justice League or turn on the video game to be able to play as a black character. You know, I don't understand how anybody could have a problem with that, but they really, you know, they really want us to go make our own separate but equal geekdom.
I find that very interesting because you write for XO Jane magazine, which, you know, has a predominantly white audience, and we have written several pieces for Black Girl Nerds, and I never see those kind of comments on our thread. So I just find that very interesting that when you put yourself out there as a black nerd in the white community, you get that kind of vitriol and criticism. But, you know, obviously within our community, it's actually the opposite. It's more supportive and like, right on, and
actually,
oh, wow, I didn't know. So, and I hope I don't bring any trolls by bringing that up, but, I mean, a lot of the comments,
knock on wood,
you know, a lot of the comments that we get are actually very, very, I would say 90% of the time supportive. So I just find that very interesting that your article got that kind of criticism. But I want to move really quick to my next question. Someone wanted to say something. Was that Tara or Shelley?
Oh, no, that was me. I said I'm not surprised because I'm just not. But if you would like to move on, please, because I can rant.
I actually was going to comment to say that I think everyone's nerd or black nerd experience is unique because I have experienced the opposite. I felt like white nerds were much more acceptant of me, and I, as a black nerd, was rejected from the rest of the black community as something odd. It wasn't until I went to a white school and met white nerds that, because it was for a period of time when I was younger that I started to question my black identity because to me, other black people made me feel like I was less black because I was a nerd. But it wasn't until I found fellow nerds that, unfortunately, I think nerddom is more acceptable in the white community, that they were like, it's okay to be what you are. But I felt like black people tried to pull my black card because I wasn't down enough or I wasn't cool enough. But this was the first community of people who were okay with saying, like, it's okay if you like that stuff. There's nothing wrong with you for liking that.
That's very
I've been ostracized on both sides. That's why I'm a little ish.
Same. Yeah, I've gotten it from both sides.
Yeah.
Okay, so nerd loyalty. I just want to bring this up because of my hatred for what's happening with Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Do you feel like, and this is for Raphael and Ramon, and then we'll go to the ladies on this, do you feel like nerds feel obligated to like certain activities and interests because of mainstream nerd culture?
You're a damn fool if you do that. What I'm saying is that if people get so locked, listen. Do you all remember Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, right? Do you remember how many people acted a fool because he was now mutated with the webs and he didn't have cartridges? People go too far sometimes with that junk, okay? They go too far with their, well, no, that's not how it happened, Glayman.
But in the sense of, if we're talking about Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not only has Marvel attached to it, as Josh Whedon attached to it, which is basically two halves of the nerd holy trinity almost, where you all can attack it almost. I have attacked Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and the common complaint I get is, what, you don't like Josh Whedon? And I tell people promptly, yeah, I don't, because to be honest with you, he's not the guy he built himself to be. Everyone believes it was that one nerd fighting against the system. No, your shows weren't as good as they should have been. And you're not the feminist you tell people you are. You know, I watched this guy sit there and I just watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's one of those things where it's like people want it to work so bad that they're willing to accept anything. And I'm sorry, you can't.
Look the other way on a lot
of
stuff.
The show is bad.
Yeah.
You know, the show is just bad. None of those characters mean anything to you. Like that last episode where one character almost died, I found myself laughing at all their emotional moments because how little characterization they've given these people. You could have killed the entire cast. I'm like, well, what's going to happen next week? Because I didn't need any of those. You know,
Why do you think that nerds feel the need to be loyal to certain franchises and things?
We're so used to not getting anything that when we get something, we take it.
Mm-hmm.
Really? They go too far with it. Like the Lord, listen. We have enough media out there, okay? There are web series, there are books, if it's not good, you don't have to accept it. And I think that honestly,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC, one of the biggest networks on all TV. It's still a huge network. And we feel that if we accept that, we accept Marvel, and we accept the entire cinematic universe. And there are people who feel that the same way I mentioned with Wonder Woman being a cameo, everyone's going, well, we're all shooting for Justice League anyway. They will accept just about anything to get these bigger victories. And to me, we've gotten to a point where we don't have to do that anymore. We've proven with Dark Knight and Avengers, we're a billion-dollar franchise, man. We are the moneymakers for entertainment. And the idea that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just to be a really bad show and we accept it because we want it to work so bad, it's embarrassing. It makes us look bad.
It's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't feel obligated so much to like whatever the mainstream, like I don't like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, I really don't. We tried and, you know, it's one of those things, we're actually discussing it at brunch. It's like if it's on, yeah, you know, I'll watch it. But then when it's off, I immediately forget about it and I don't feel a draw to like, you know, run home and turn on my TV Tuesday nights to watch it. I think with social media these days, like people, like for example, Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was huge. Breaking Bad was amazing. It was perfect, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people who probably otherwise would never have turned on Breaking Bad were like, okay, you know, so many people are talking about it. You know, I want to see what the big deal is. And so I think that's where it starts with a lot of people. Like, I don't like Doctor Who, but so many of my friends were talking about it. I was like, all right, let me at least give it a chance. Let me see if I'd like it. And then I tried it, and I didn't like it. Okay, I move on. But I think with social media, and especially like things like Twitter and live tweeting, and you know, the way that social media is so big, so much of a part of nerd culture these days, I think that's what people really feel like. Okay, so many people are going on about this. Let me at least be what it's about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I feel like...
No, go ahead, Tara.
I'm sorry. Only thing I was going to say is I feel like if for some reason or another a person or a nerd, I should say, does not like the mainstream stuff, then you get ostracized from either your fellow nerds or the community or whatever it may be, or even just general people. Like,
right.
If you don't like something, then it's just like, well, why don't you like it? Isn't it amazing? It's like, no, it's crap. Like, seriously, it sucks. Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, you can't expect me to like it. Like, we all can call them on the bad acting and the really crappy CG sometimes or green screen sometimes. I don't even know what's going on. I watched the last episode and was like, oh, she's going to die. See you later. Thor should come in, give her the bee, save her, and we're out. But that didn't happen. So I feel like if you don't like it, then someone's going to pull you on and be like, oh, you suck. You're not dedicated. This is what we wanted, and this is what we got, and you're just not going to stand by it. No, unless they come back and maybe revamp it. Well, it's been picked up for a second season yet. No? I don't know.
It's been renewed.
Oh, if whatever. If it's back for a second season, then they should take some key and go on Twitter and read and take the changes going.
So I want
to address that they expected us to like it immediately, and I was just like, just the idea of it is not enough to sustain an entire season of an entire show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, luckily Marvel has conceptualized a new idea to partner up with Netflix, and there's four films that are going to be premiering on Netflix, and someone brilliantly stated that binge-watching television as opposed to episodic television makes it easier to tell a comic book story, and I totally agree. So good for Marvel on that idea. Real quick, Twitter. Just want to address this comment because I think it's very important. Big Baba Rob, he says, I would say that the word mainstream quotations automatically implies the exclusion of a minority group. I just thought that that was very interesting. Last question. Guilty confessions. Is there something attached to nerd culture that you have no interest in?
I pretty much bombed him already. Josh Whedon. I don't get it. I was a big Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan, and looking back at it now, basically that entire show was a girl dependent on men and being slut-shamed the entire time. And like looking back at Josh Whedon, like, I don't seem the way I used to. You know, like, I get why people like him. He had these really quirky shows that people liked, but he wasn't the end-all, be-all geek guru we give him credit for being. You know, like, he's just not that guy. He's just really isn't that guy.
Hmm.
That's my confession.
Well, my confession is Doctor Who. I don't watch Doctor Who. I tried to get into it. I can't. We did a Doctor Who podcast. I had to ask Angelique to host it because I know nothing of Doctor Who. So that is my confession.
My confession is that I am a Joss Whedon fan, but I do not enjoy Firefly. I'm sorry. I tried.
Thank you.
There's like a religion of you, and I don't like it. I don't like Firefly. I don't like Serenity, honestly. I don't like Doctor Who either. I tried really hard, but the humor is just really off-putting to me. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't like it. It's terrible. So, those are my things.
Mine is I don't like Lord of the Rings. Can't get into it.
Me either. You're okay.
I
need an inhaler. What?
It's boring. It makes me fall asleep. Like, I swear, if I want someone that's going to, like, knock me out, I'll take a bike and then put on some Lord of the Rings, and I'm a baby.
Every movie is 3 hours long.
Real quick, Shelley and LaTanya.
You go first.
I don't like anime.
No.
In general.
I haven't seen
it.
I don't like Star Wars, really, but I like Yoda, so it's weird. But I'm not, for fangirl of the Star Wars at all.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, no. I don't like Game of Thrones either.
Sorry.
That's kind of why.
Sorry.
Ramon, did you give your before we end? We got about 30 seconds.
Everything that you guys said. I hate Firefly. Lord of the Rings is overrated. All that stuff. But, you know, anyone that follows me on Twitter knows my biggest thing is Jean-Luc Picard. And you all need to come at me on Twitter if you want to battle me about Jean-Luc Picard. He's overrated. He is overrated.
Guys, this was a good one. We had a lot of listeners, a lot of feedback on Twitter. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all your tweets, guys, but thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you to Raphael, Ramon, Shaka, Shelley, LaTanya, Tara. Thank you so, so much. We are out of time. But for those who are downloading the podcast now, you can hear this part. Next week, we will have Makeda DeJane. I think I pronounced that correctly, a.k.a. the Grim Freaker. She runs a website called ZombieGamerOnline.com. It's a site that reviews games, comics. She posts all the things that are happening in geek culture, and she just so happens to be a black girl nerd. So she will be on our show next week, same time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, guys. Maybe we should do this again. This was so
much
fun.
Yeah, we need a part two.
Yeah. There just wasn't enough time to go over all of this. So, and I didn't get
There's
all the questions
There's
in.
Another part two.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care. See ya.
Bye. I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Finally.